listening to the Key of Awesome Music podcast, brought to you by me, Jim Gavin. Key of Awesome Music was established back in 2011 as a way to further protect and promote the music that I wrote as a solo artist, as well as some of the other bands that I was in the past. And that has since grown into representing 10 artists' music that have either gone under the radar or have not been noticed for one reason or another, and are just awesome, awesome musicians and storytellers through song. In the late winter and early spring of 2018, Key of Awesome Music was given the opportunity to further expand its horizons as well as further impact people in a positive way using music as a tool to do so. From one-on-one sessions on guitar, piano, bass, ukulele, percussion, and vocals, to group sessions at developmental and physically disabled day programs, to interactive live performances at nursing homes and assisted living facilities, we are fortunate and blessed to be able to provide a mission-based music service for people in a time of need. Right now, we are reaching out to drug and alcohol counseling centers, prisons, at-risk youth, homeless shelters, soup kitchens, mental health organizations, and anywhere else we can think of where coming in to do a music program would best serve and support the individuals that you serve and support. If this sounds like something you are interested in, please feel free to reach out to us at jim.gavin@gmail.com. That is jim.gaven@gmail.com. Also, you can check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/keyofawesomemusic. That's facebook.com/keyofawesomemusic. We also have a Patreon page set up so that we can go into some of these places and not affect their bottom line. If you are looking to donate to a worthy cause or something a little different outside of the box and you're having trouble doing so, this would be a great opportunity to give back to the community and using music as a means to help people. Feel free to go to www.patreon.com/JimGavin. That's patreon.com/JimGaven. Thank you for all of the love and support. Trust me, it is greatly appreciated. From the bottom of my heart, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is Jim Gavin from the Key of Awesome Music, improving the quality of life through music.
The reason to believe in anything at all, too far gone without. song. Chapter 4, Gregorian Chants, Throat Singing, and Tibetan Singing Bowls. In this chapter, we'll dive into the world of overtone, throat singing, Gregorian chants, and Tibetan singing bowls. As you'll discover, they are outside-of-the-box ways to simultaneously sing and achieve peace. Overtone, throat singing. en.wikipedia.org/wiki/overtone_singing. Overtone singing, aka overtone chanting, harmonic singing or throat singing, is a type of singing in which the singer manipulates the resonances created as air travels from the lungs past the vocal folds and out of the mouth to produce a melody. The harmonics of a sound wave made by the human voice can be selectively amplified by changing the shape of the resonant cavities of the mouth, larynx, and pharynx. This tuning allows a singer to create more than one pitch at the same time while actually generating a singular fundamental frequency with their vocal folds. Each note is like a rainbow of sound. When you shoot a light beam through a prism, you get a rainbow. You think of a rainbow of sounds when you sing one note. If you can use your throat as a prism, you can expose the rainbow through positioning the throat in a certain physical way, which will reveal the harmonic series note by note. Nowadays, Mongolia is often considered the most active center of overtone singing in the world. Other places near Mongolia who sing in this type of way are Tuva and Altai. The most commonly practiced style, Kumi, can be divided up into the following categories: Rulin, Labial Kumi, Tagnane, Palatal Kumi, Cameron, Nasal Kumi, Bagalzurin, Kulin, Glottal Throat Kumi, Shijin Kondan Kevlilin, Chest Cavity Stomach Kuli, or Tulet or Kozmolin Kumi, Kumi combined with Long Song. This genre is called Long Song not only because the songs are long, but also because each syllable of text is extended for a long duration. For example, a 4-minute song may only consist of 10 words. Certain long songs such as Uvgin Shuvu Koyar, a.k.a. Jargaltain Delger, meaning Old Man and the Bird, has a length of up to 3 hours if to sing in full length with complete 32 stanzas. Now, if this doesn't bring a calming inner peace to your soul, I don't know what does. Imagine being in a state of calm for 3 hours straight when singing this particular long song. What joy, what bliss. Of course, Mongolia is in a remote part of the world, so it may be easier for them to for the community to disconnect from technology and the distractions that brings in today's world. I've listened to throat singing before, and it sounds like the lowest musical notes capable of human beings mixed with a variety of vibrations and vibrato. In some ways, it sounds as if someone is creating the sound of a didgeridoo with their voice. Very interesting stuff. Tibetan singing bowls. verywellmind.com/Tibetan-singing-bowls-4-healing-89828. Although this may be a stretch because humans aren't actually singing in this instance, we cannot forget the beauty that is the Tibetan singing bowl. In case you've never heard of it or don't know what it does, here is some information about it. Tibetan singing bowls are a type of bell that vibrates and produces a rich, deep tone when played. Also known as singing bowls or Himalayan bowls, Tibetan singing bowls are said to promote relaxation, stress reduction, pain relief, and offer powerful healing properties. Buddhist monks have long used Tibetan singing bowls in meditation practice. In addition, some wellness practitioners, including music therapists, massage therapists, and yoga therapists, use Tibetan singing bowls, meditation, and deep breathing during treatment. To create sound with a singing bowl, firmly press the accompanying mallet in a circular motion against the bowl's outside edge or rim. When you hear a bright, clear tone, you can slow down the motion. Use your full arm to make the motion rather than just rotating your wrist. You can also make the same circular motion against the outside belly of the bowl. Additionally, you can gently strike the bowl before beginning the circular motion. jevondangeli.com, which is jevongeli.com/Tibetan-singing-bowls-the-ancient-brain-entrainment-methodology-4-healing-and-meditation. Benefits of Tibetan singing bowls. Very few scientific studies have examined the potential benefits of Tibetan singing bowls despite their long history of use. One of the available studies is a report from the Swiss Journal of Research in Complementary Medicine. For the study, 54 people with chronic pain originating from the spine were assigned to either 6 sessions of singing bowl therapy, a placebo treatment, or no treatment at all. Study results showed that members of the singing bowl group and the placebo group experienced a significant decrease in pain intensity. The study's authors also found that both the singing bowl therapy and the placebo therapy had a stress-reducing effect on participants. A preliminary study published in the American Journal of Health Promotion in 2014 examined the benefits of starting a direct relaxation session with 12 minutes of singing bowls and found a greater reduction in systolic blood pressure and heart rate compared to silence before a directed relaxation session. Some reputable doctors and experts have this to say about Tibetan singing bowls. If we accept that sound is vibration and we know that vibration touches every part of our physical being, then we understand that sound is not only heard, is heard not only through our ears, but through every cell in our bodies. One reason sound heals on a physical level is because it so deeply touches and transforms us on the emotional and spiritual planes. Sound can reduce stress imbalances in every level of physiological functioning and can play a positive role in the treatment of virtually any medical disorder. Dr. Mitchell Gaynor, Director of Medical Oncology and Integrative Medicine, the Cornell Cancer Prevention Center in New York. Sound healing expert Diane Mandel states that Tibetan singing bowls don't only affect a great deal of physical healing, but also have far-reaching implications at our current emotional and spiritual levels. It is a regenerative process married to a spiritual awakening that can have profound consequences on illness, disease, and all aspects of our lives. In fact, mainstream medical teaching facilities like Duke University and the University of North Carolina have added programs that link body, mind, and spirit to the treatment of cancer. Cancer prevention centers are utilizing sound as a vital part of the healing process for patients with astounding results. Tibetan singing bowls can be used to put you into a special brainwave state, commonly referred to as being in the zone, that supports the achievement of your unique goal toward better health. Producing theta brainwaves through the use of Tibetan singing bowls in conjunction with sophisticated audio technologies is facilitated through listening to the Healing Trance Formations recording. Dr. Hans Selye, the father of stress, was an endocrinologist in the 1950s who did research on the response of organisms to stress. He determined that stress is the underlying cause of all illness and disease. His research was taken a step further by Dr. Herbert Benson. Dr. Herbert Benson of Harvard's Mind-Body Institute has studied stress reduction for 35 years. Dr. Benson found that stress causes physical and emotional blockages. Dr. Benson found that stress reduction was essential to creation of health. He coined the phrase relaxation response. He defines this as a physical state of deep rest that changes the physical and emotional responses to stress. For example, decrease in heart rate, blood pressure, and muscle tension. He also found that regular elicitation of the relaxation response has been scientifically proven to be an effective treatment for a wide range of stress-related disorders. In fact, to the extent that any disease is caused or made worse by stress, the relaxation response is essential to healing. Gregorian chant. In addition to overtone throat singing and Tibetan singing bowls lies the great tradition of Gregorian chanting. One group of Benedictine monks discovered an unexpected benefit from their Gregorian chants. Their chanting seemed to energize their bodies. summit.org/study-the-energizing-power-of-Gregorian-chants. Isn't that something? We can learn from this idea in multiple ways. Number one, doing something physical does not tire you, but rather gives you energy. I've discovered this in my own life by what I do with music. Most of what I do is utilizing music as a means to improve the quality of life for those with disabilities, developmental and physical, those struggling with drug and alcohol addiction, those with Alzheimer's or dementia, and those who are sick. At the end of every work day, I use this term loosely because most days I don't see as work, I am energized as if I drank 3 cups of coffee. I believe this is the case for me because I found a way to combine a hobby, talent, and passion into helping others. I've removed my ego and self-serving nature from the equation, and I focus my energy into boosting other people's egos and serve them. Number two, you never know what positive side effects may come as a result of trying something new or outside of the box. It may seem strange to chant a mantra, the same phrase over and over again, but there is something freeing in that. In essence, you are tapping into something deep within us, the need to free yourself from decision fatigue and focus on one specific task at a time. In 1967, Alfred Tomatis, a French physician, psychologist, and ear specialist, studied how chanting affected the Benedictine monks. For hundreds of years, they had kept a rigorous schedule, sleeping only a few hours a night and chanting from 6 to 8 hours a day. Talk about a marathon session. When a new abbot changed the schedule and cut out the chanting, the monks became tired and lethargic. The more sleep they got, the more tired they seemed to become. Tomatis was called in to find out what was wrong with them. He believed that chanting and listening to certain kinds of music served a special purpose, energizing the brain and body. He said the monks had been chanting in order to charge themselves. He reintroduced chanting along with a program of listening to stimulating sounds, and the monks soon found the energy to return to their normal schedule. Whether the monks knew it or not, they had discovered the power of sound, especially spoken or chanted prayer. Philip Kozlowski, which is spelled philipkoslowski.com/the-case -for-gregorian-chant-the-spiritual-benefits-of-singing-in-the-voice-of-church. Furthermore, St. Augustine points out, he who sings prays twice. An important aspect of vocal prayer that shouldn't be missed is the singing of prayer. The singing of hymns and prayers have been an essential part of personal liturgical prayer for thousands of years, even before Christianity. The Psalms are a great example of this tradition, as they were meant to be sung. But how should we sing while we pray? Is there a preferred way of singing? In a word, yes. The Roman Catholic Church favors the style of Gregorian chant above all other musical styles that have surfaced over the centuries. The Church does not favor it for any particular reason, but does so because of its ability to foster prayer. Let us look into the reasoning of the Church and come to understand why this almost obsolete type of music is still relevant today. But what is Gregorian chant? The name is often taken as synonymous with plain chant, comprising not only the Church music of the early Middle Ages, but also later compositions, elaborate melodies for the ordinary of the Mass, sequences written in a similar style down in the 16th century and even in modern times. In a stricter sense, Gregorian chant means that Roman form of early plain chant. The name Gregorian chant points to St. Gregory the Great, 590-604, to whom a pretty constant tradition ascribes a certain final arrangement of the Roman chant, a Catholic encyclopedia. Essentially, it is an ancient form of singing that has been passed down to us from St. Gregory the Great. What is so special about it? It is traditionally known to correspond to the three vows of religious life: poverty, chastity, and obedience. Gregorian chant draws its beauty and practical strengths from three memorable characteristics: chastity, poverty, and obedience. Gregorian music is pure chaste melody with no underlying harmony or accompaniment necessary. As such, one person or 10,000 could perform it with ease. Gregorian music takes the vow of poverty. It uses a comfortably limited range of notes. It requires no expensive instruments or expensive copyrighted sheet music. It requires only the willing voice and a photocopier. All Gregorian music is in the public domain. What Makes Music Catholic by Joel Morehouse. A particular note is the ability of Gregorian chant to help us grow in obedience. Our sinful nature makes us prideful of the things that we make, and Gregorian chant humbles us in its simplicity, as well as by the fact that it is the preferred way of singing in the Roman Catholic Church. While we certainly can use other genres of music to pray and sing, and we are allowed to by the Church, in her wisdom, she prefers Gregorian chant. St. Pius V found three other spiritual attributes of Gregorian chant: sacredness, beauty, and universality. These qualities, sacredness, beauty, and universality, are to be found in the highest degree in Gregorian chant, which is, consequently, the chant proper to the Roman Church, the only chant she has inherited from the ancient fathers, which she has jealously guarded for centuries in her liturgical codices, which she directly proposes to the faithful as her own, which she prescribes exclusively for some parts of the liturgy, and which the most recent studies have so happily restored to their integrity and purity. On these grounds, Gregorian chant has always been regarded as the supreme model for sacred music, so that it is fully legitimate to lay down the following rule: the more closely a composition for church approaches in its movement, inspiration, and savor the Gregorian form, the more sacred and liturgical it becomes, and the more out of harmony it is with that supreme model, the less worthy it is of the temple. Above all things, it is a simple and solemn way of praying. Instruments are not needed, and the most basic chant can be learned by anyone. It is not trendy or hip in any way, and so does not distract away from the sacred words being sung. Gregorian chant focuses on the text and is inherently meant to highlight the beauty of the words. In that way, it is designed to point us all to the Word Himself, Jesus Christ. It is the voice of the Church and can greatly help our own personal prayer. Singing while we pray can lift up our hearts to the Lord and is a beautiful way of expressing the love of God. Singing has always been seen as a special sign of love for another person. For example, a man who sings to his girlfriend or wife is seen as romantic. Why not do this in everyday life? For additional information and resources in this chapter, csmusic.net/content/blog/meditation-and-singing, en.wikipedia.org/wiki/Gregorian_chant, americanmagazine.org/arts-culture/2018/03/07/brief-history-gregorian-chant, classicalmusiccity.com/search/article.php?vars=313-history/history-of-gregorian-chant.html, americanmagazine.org/arts-culture2018/03/07/brief-history-gregorian-chant. Thank you.
younger, standing here. And now be a good time to look in the mirror, because I'm growing older, year by year. Sing over and over, soon disappears. All about something that seems so cold. It can even mean nothing, but no one knows. Until we go out there with open arms, we may never know cold hands is a warm heart. Give me something to hope for, something to believe. Can you tell me you want more for you and me? Give me something to hope for, something to believe. Can you tell me you want more for you and me? Good time, a good time to face your fears. You can see where I stand still, and it's so clear. We're close enough to fall through, you were far too near. Give me something to hope for, something to believe. Can you tell me you want more for you and me? Give me something to hope for, something to believe. Can you tell me you want more for you and me? Warming. I believe when I can't see, still the more.